Well, welcome and good evening. This is Benjamin Baruch, and glad you could tune in to Search the Scriptures, either live or on archive. And this Saturday, hallelujah, the 14th of November, I'm actually speaking to you from a pre-recorded program because I'm going to be in Priest River at Nathan Liao's Revival Conference. But wanted to be able to speak to you guys and share some insights and some revelation from the Scripture as to the times that we're in. So praise God. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we just pray for the anointing of your word. Lord, these are your people. They've gathered to hear from you. And so, Lord, I yield this podium to you. I pray your word of truth would come forth, even a rhema word by the power of your Holy Spirit, for the blessing of your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. We're going to get into some scripture tonight, and that is the purpose of this show, as we search the scriptures for the words of truth found therein, and I'm going to try to bring some truth out tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to start, and you guys might want to just make notes of these scripture references, because I don't think you're going to be able to turn the pages quite as fast as me. That's your choice. We're starting in Luke 21, verse 36. The Lord admonished us, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man," in the presence of the Son of Man. We were admonished to watch and pray always. Amen. Things are now coming to pass. Which things? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, we were told of the time in which we live. This know also, in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times, unprecedented time of deception and apostasy and strong delusion would come, and men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Oh, pride is like an epidemic today. Blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away by diverse lust, ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Ever learning, never coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, their minds being corrupted by the pride inside and by the lust of the eyes, they are reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Jannes and Jambres, they were the magicians in the court of Pharaoh who could counterfeit the works of Moses. Their rods, their staff turned into a serpent as well. And they could turn the water into blood. They could counterfeit the early works of Moses. And so these counterfeiters have come among us. And that's the perilous time that we're in, the time of the great falling away. But there's a remnant that's being preserved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father. This is a word unto the remnant. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God our Father has blessed us in heavenly places in Christ. The blessings which we have received have been received in Jesus Christ. And in order to enter into them, we must enter into the life of Jesus Christ as well. According as God has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in Jesus. We were blessed in Jesus even before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. The Lord is calling us to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. That word for predestinate, it's proorizo, and it means in advance, predetermined, to determine beforehand, to ordain, and to predestine. We were chosen by God in Jesus Christ. And we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us, the remnant that are being saved, accepted in the Beloved. And that word is karaitu, and it means with special honor, to be made acceptable, being chosen in Jesus. We are covered in the righteousness of Jesus. The blood of Jesus atones for our sin, and the righteousness of Jesus is given unto us as we repent and receive Him as Lord. We also receive His righteousness and thereby receive His salvation. And in so receiving His salvation, we are now accepted by Father God in the Beloved. And the word for accepted means to be highly favored. The remnant of God who've been chosen before the foundation of the world and blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus have been highly favored by God. Yes, as highly favored as Jesus, in that we've received the very righteousness of Jesus, so we have the favor of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the beloved Son, of whom the Father said, in Him I am well pleased. And so through the redemption of His blood and the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure. Father God's good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. It was Father God's purpose to accept us and favor us and to bless us in Jesus, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained our inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. And Father God does work all things after the counsel of His will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also have trusted, after you heard and believed the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, now you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance. It is the down payment of your inheritance. It's the down payment, sealing of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life is God's down payment into the escrow of your salvation until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is your life, your lives, my life, being purchased possessions unto the praise of His glorious grace. And as the Lord said, I will protect that which is mine. We are the purchase possession of Jesus, but we need to cooperate, not be the little disobedient, rebellious children, or we will have to reap the fruit of that foolish way. That was Ephesians chapter 1, brothers and sisters. Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness is soon to be revealed. Isaiah 57, verses 14 and 15. And they shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. Move the stone of offense out of the way. Move the false doctrines that offend and the snares of the enemy and all of these things that bring an offense in the house of God. Cast them out and prepare the way, for the redeemed of the Lord are at hand to come. Take these stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. Verse 15, thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, says the Lord, and with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble ones and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwells he inhabits eternity. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he exists within all of eternity. God is, God was, and God will always be the inhabitor of eternity, and his name is holy, and he dwells in a high and a holy place, but he also dwells with those of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the brokenhearted and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. Verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, saith the Lord. You wonder why you shall eat the fruit of your lips? You wonder why? How does this principle work that life and death is in the power of the tongue? Because the Lord says so, and the Lord makes it to be so. Isaiah 57, verse 19, I, the Lord, create the fruit of your lips. Well, we better be guarding our lips and stop speaking out words of death, doubt, and unbelief, or you're going to get the fruit of those words. We've all had enough of that bitter harvest. God creates the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and the ones that are near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. The Lord's speaking of his people. He's bringing peace and healing to his remnant. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, that it, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Amen. And there's no peace for those who walk with the wicked. And there's no peace for those who dwell in the court of compromise. No, the peace, the shalom of the Lord, which passes understanding, is only available to those who abide with the Lord and is only given to those of a contrite and humble spirit, as we shall see. And they that shall be of thee, they of the remnant, shall build the old waste places. We are going to rebuild the old way, and they shall raise up the foundation of many generations. And you will be called the repairers of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. And that is the ministry of this hour. We are to repair the breach in the wall. The enemy has broken the wall. They've literally breached through the wall in the camp of the Most High. They brought their desolation among us. They've subverted the truth. They've invaded the camp of the Most High. They've burned the synagogues to the ground. And if you want the authority for that, go read Psalm 74. We don't have time tonight. But the remnant that is being raised up, the humble ones, the contrite ones, with whom the Lord chooses to dwell, they will be called forth to rebuild the old waste places, the synagogues, the churches of God that have been desolated by the satanic counterfeit that came in, the division and the words of death and destruction through the false prophets and the spirit of divination and all the sons of pride who came under the banner of the demonic spirit of rebellion and pride, they've literally burned the synagogues down. They've ruined the church. And thus the land of God grieves and cries out to the Lord. And so the Lord is pouring out the latter-day rain, and it's coming upon the remnant that can hear the truth from heaven. And he's calling them to restore the foundation, which is the word of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and the truth of the Lord is the foundation of our way. The word of our God is the lamp unto our feet. And we who shall be called the repairers of the breach will also be the restorers of the path to dwell in. And the path is the straight and narrow way, and the door is Jesus Christ. I am the door, said the Lord. Praise God. That book is in process, you guys. And hallelujah. I'm watching the Lord do this next one, and it's going to be a blessing. Pray that it would be completed. The enemy's thrown some, you know, they threw their little monkey wrenches, and now we've got some problems, but nothing the Lord can't handle. Pray that the Lord would provide all that is necessary to bring Volume 4, I Am the Door, to completion, that it could be produced and available for you soon, in Jesus' name. Back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short, that he cannot save you. Neither is God's ear heavy, that he cannot hear you. But your iniquity has separated between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you now. For our transgressions, verse 12, our transgressions are multiplied before you, O Lord, and our sins testified against us. And that's this generation. The generation of his wrath, the sin of his people testifies against them. So the Lord has hidden his face from many. And until we're ready to repent, he's going to hide his face from us as well. Our transgressions were multiplied before the Lord. We didn't use addition, we used multiplication. And in some circles, it was exponential powers. The sins have defiled the land. They testify against this nation and against its people. For our transgressions are with us still, and our iniquities, we know them. The people are still walking in their transgression. We are still walking in our iniquities, and it is time to put these things down. Touch not the unclean thing. Turn away from the unclean ways of Babylon, awaken from your sleep and come out of the slumber of Sodom and return to the Lord while there is yet time. Yet, verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord, the people have not only transgressed, they have lied. Oh, they're blessing the Lord. They're worshiping God. I was at a worship service at a conference in Caldwell a while back at a church that was, you know, I was expecting great things, and when they started their worship, they were lying against the Lord, and it grieved the Holy Spirit, which had been present. You know, if our worship grieves the Lord, you know, we have truly departed from our God. We need to return to the Lord. Stop speaking oppression and rebellion, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. The people had literally been turned over to the lie, having chosen to hide their sin and cover it with religion. Now they were lying to themselves. They were in denial. They were lying about their truth. They were lying about their transgression. And so they were lying against the Lord, saying, oh, Lord, we come to serve you. We come to honor you. And yet they had idols of pride hidden inside, like Achan had that silver wedge in his tent. You can't be walking in abominations and claim to be walking in the anointing of the Lord. It doesn't mix. Uttering words of falsehood. And judgment, therefore, is turned away backward, and justice stands far off. For truth is fallen in the streets of America, and justice and equity can no longer enter into our public way of life. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Yes, truth has failed, and those that would depart from evil are now a prey. If you stand for the truth of the Lord, you will be persecuted. You will be a prey. They will seek to hunt you. And even those who call themselves the church will pick up stones against you for having spoken the truth. If you uncover the satanic deceptions that have come within the house of God, people love their false prophets and their false apostles and their false teachers. They will stone you. They will take you out just like they took Jesus out of the synagogue in Nazareth. The same way they took Ezekiel and all the men who had the true word of God in ancient Israel. They took them out and they picked up stones against them. Those who speak the truth and depart from evil are now a prey. And the Lord sees it, and it displeases him that there's no justice in this land, and there is no man that stands. And the Lord wonders, why are there no intercessors? This is a nation of people that will not pray. The Lord said, pray for the babies being murdered. And I said, Lord, why don't you just get your church to pray? And the Lord said, this was many years ago, the Lord said, I've asked my church to pray, and they will not pray. It displeases the Lord that there are no intercessors. And God wonders, why is there no prayer in the land? Well, the Lord is raising up intercessors in this hour. Out of the camp of the remnant, he's called forth an army of intercessors. And then all over the earth, the Lord's calling the remnant to prayer. He said, devote yourself to prayer. The time for fasting and prayer has come. And listen, you know, if you pray, do the best you can and don't come under condemnation. If you try to fast and you only make it a day, praise God. You're putting your hand to the plow and you're hearing the voice from heaven. And don't feel condemnation because you didn't fast for 40 days. Or maybe you couldn't even make one day. Maybe you fast all day and then you're so exhausted you eat one meal at night. You could fast like that for weeks. Fasting during the day, eating a meal at night. And you can continue to work. And believe me, brethren, this constitutes fasting and prayer. Lots of people ask me about, Benjamin, how do we fast? Brothers and sisters, you are free in Jesus. You can fast with the Daniel fast. You can fast with juices. You can fast with one meal a day. You can fast with the distilled water fast. You can fast in any number of ways. You seek the Lord on what he would call you to do. And then do it with all your might. And if you don't make... you don't do as well as you hoped, don't feel like you failed. Just get up and do it again. Because your service unto the Lord will be rewarded. This entire nation has stopped praying. They're too busy chasing the almighty dollar in Babylon. And that's why the Lord saw there's no man to intercede. There is nobody praying. Well, thank God. Therefore, the Lord brought salvation himself. Even as the Lord has called an army of intercessors, he said, raise me an army of intercessors that will pray. And it's being done in the power of God. And the Lord is doing this himself. And if you've answered the call, God bless you. Thank you. And the Lord is with you. So be encouraged and pray in the power of the might of the Lord. Amen. Verse 17, for God is putting on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he's putting a breastplate of righteousness on his intercessors and on his remnant, and he's fashioning a helmet of salvation upon the head of his anointed, and he's putting on garments of vengeance for his clothing, because the day of vengeance is coming. And he was clad with zeal as a cloak, and the zeal for thy word, O Lord, it consumes me. According to their deeds, says God, I will repay fury to my enemies, recompense to those who brought division in my camp, and to the islands I will repay full recompense. You guys remember that word in the Hebrew, islands is ayim, and it means the place where they walk full of strife and contention in the mind of the flesh. The ones who come into his house bringing only an offering of division. And they only bring a division where the Lord had called for unity, that we would be one and of one accord in the bond of love. Those who come in the mind of the flesh bring division, and they bring contention. And the Lord says he will repay. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west. Praise God. Where is the mighty move of God beginning first in this last day? It's coming in the west, children. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west. And the fear of the Lord will first come on the nations of the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy shall come in against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. And that standard is the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. And by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we shall overcome. And our Redeemer shall come to Zion. Hallelujah. And unto them that turn from transgression. Children, it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what we do today, this day. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as the fathers of old did in the ancient times, and as our own fathers did in the time of American prosperity. Harden not your hearts. Turn from your wicked ways. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and you will find the Redeemer who's coming to Zion, says the Lord. And as for me, says God, this is my covenant with my remnant, says the Lord, my spirit that is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth, they shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of your children's children, says the Lord, from this time and forever. Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And that word for risen is zarach, and it means to irradiate, to shoot forth like beams of light, to rise as bright as the sun, to appear and rise up as soon as light. God is going to bring the light. It's going to rise upon the remnant. It's going to be like the beams of sunlight on the first break of day. For behold, darkness is now going to cover the earth, and gross darkness the minds of the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon his remnant. And the Gentiles will come to the light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And that word for brightness is nogah, and it means brilliancy, a bright, brilliant light. It translates as clear shining. When the Lord rises upon his people, it's going to be with a brilliant, bright light. And Gentiles will come. The people will see. The kings will notice the anointed remnant and the brightness of their rising, because it's going to be a brilliant, bright light on the day of the clear shining, which King David prophesied of in 2 Samuel 23. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke through me. He that rules over the sons of men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises. When you rule over men in the fear of God, then the righteousness of God will rise upon you as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning with clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth on a day of clear shining after the rain. King David, these are the final words of King David, his final prophetic prayer. He's prophesying of our time, brothers and sisters. He's prophesying of the same day which Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah chapter 60, the day when the glory of the Lord shall rise upon the remnant. Brothers and sisters, that day is coming soon. That day is coming soon. And I was putting this study together, I began to think, Lord, who am I to even be teaching these things? And I'm going to be preaching at this conference on Saturday, Friday, Saturday. Honestly, you guys, I'm utter inadequacy. I felt like I had nothing to say, just emptiness within. And I thought, Lord, who am I? Who are we who are among the remnant? are none of us that are great. There are none of us that are high and lifted up. And as I began to look at that question, who am I? I did a search on it and I found a few verses. You know, who are we that we would lift ourselves up in the time of the day of the Lord, or even to lift ourselves up in the house, in the presence of the house of the Lord? You know, 2 Samuel 7, King David went in and sat before the house of the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, Lord? And what is my house that you brought me here?" And Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And the Lord said, "Certainly I will be with thee." Here you've got two of the greatest men in all of the history of the kingdom of God, King David, who'd been lifted up out of the sheepfold and made king over all of Israel. And yet in his heart he said, "Who am I, Lord, that you brought me here?" David never was lifted up. And Moses, after he was called by God, the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush. And Moses responds, "Who am I, Lord, that you would send me to Pharaoh?" And I also heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for me?" And then I said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." And if you hear the voice of God in this day calling you, who will I send? Amen. Those who hear the voice of the Lord respond, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And the Lord said unto his messengers, "Go and speak to this people and tell them, listen indeed, but perceive not, and see with your eyes, but understand not, and make the heart of this people heavy, and make their ears dull, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and become converted, and I should heal them." And then I said, "Lord, for how long will the people be asleep?" And he answered and said unto me, "Until the cities be utterly burned with fire and without inhabitant in this land, and many houses abandoned, and the land be utterly desolate before you." And that's when this nation will finally repent, the remnant of this nation. Isaiah 6, that was verses 8 through 11. Isaiah 60, "Lift up your eyes round about and see. All they that gather themselves together, they come to you. They're like sons from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. And then you will see and flow together, and your heart will fear and be enlarged because of the abundance of the nations that shall be converted to you, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." This is a prophecy to the remnant. And God says, this remnant that says, "Who am I, Lord? I'm nothing before you." And this remnant that's the broken and humble in heart, upon whom these promises shall come. The Lord says, you're going to lift up your eyes, and you're going to look around you, and you're going to see the nations gathering themselves together. They're going to come to you because of the light of the glory of God that has risen upon your countenance. The faces of the remnant will be glowing with the glory of God, and they're going to bring their abundance with them, and your heart shall fear because of the abundance of the blessing that comes. Can you imagine? The blessing that's coming into the remnant will bring fear into the camp of God. It'll be such a mighty thing that the Lord will do. Isaiah 60, verse 8. "Who are these that fly as a cloud and as doves in their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, says the Lord, and the ships of Tarshish at the first. They're bringing my sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and unto the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee." And I remember an angel speaking to me one morning, a As I awakened from my sleep, I heard him with my ears, and he said, the ships of Tarshish are waiting. I'm like, wow. The next day, again, the angel spoke, and this time he said, the ships of Tarshish are waiting for you. They're waiting for me, and they're waiting for you, and they will wait there still until we arrive. So when the great exodus begins, dear brethren in the remnant, do not fear. The ships of Tarshish will be waiting still until you are safely brought aboard, because they are there at the command of the Lord to bring your children from afar. We're going to be brought back to the place of the name of the Lord and to the holy mountains of Zion, which are the high place of greater Israel that is now consecrated unto the Lord our God. And there, and in this time, the Lord says, I have glorified you. This little remnant, who they were nothing, but they knew they were nothing before him. All pride had been purged out of them. All of the rebellion of sin had been burned up in the furnace of affliction. Broken vessels like Jacob, who had now was limping for the rest of his life. The remnant had been brought to the end of themselves. Like King David of old, they said, who am I, Lord? Who am I that you would call me? Who am I that the ships of Tarshish would wait for me? And surely they wait for you as well. Who are we that the Lord would glorify us, that he would actually cause the glory of his presence to rise upon our countenance? Who are we? We are Zion, whom no one desired. That's right. Even as they didn't desire Jesus, no, they did not. The religious leaders cast him out. They threw him out of his own synagogue in Nazareth. They picked up stones. They wanted to throw him off a cliff when he preached the word of truth. When he preached in Jerusalem, they plotted against him, looking for a way to kill him. And so, too, they persecuted his disciples. If you were of the world would receive you as its own. But because the Lord chose you out of the world, they will treat you the same as the Lord. And so, too, they have treated the Zion, which God has chosen. Who are we? We are Zion, whom no man seeks after. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. I will restore health unto the remnant of my people, and I will heal all of thy wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast. Yeah, you were an outcast. They cast us out. They blacklisted us. They slandered our names. They threw us out of the gates of their temples. And they told us, don't come back to our church no more. This was Zion, whom no one sought after. That word for sought after or seeketh after is darash, and it means to seek or to ask about. Nobody even looked for this remnant that God calls Zion. They didn't seek you. They threw us out. They didn't even ask about us. It means to care for. They didn't care for Zion at all, any more than they cared for the Lord who had chosen Zion. It means to search and to seek out and to look for. No man searched for Zion. No man cared for the remnant. He was afflicted. We esteemed him not. We counted him stricken and afflicted by God. So too the remnant was forsaken. And people said, they are afflicted of God, let them go. They are no value to us. This is Zion, whom no man sought after, but the Lord sought them out. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold when he said, I was found of them that sought me not, and I manifest myself unto them that asked not for me. But to Israel he says, all day long I stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and greedy people, covetous people, gainsaying people. Surely the isle shall wait for me. Isaiah 60, verse 9. And the ships of Tarshish at the first. Hallelujah. And thy sons and daughters, the sons of strangers, shall bring them, and they shall build up thy walls, and their kings will minister unto you. For in my wrath I judged you, and in the fire of my jealousy I purged you in the furnace of my affliction. But now in the time of my favor I have mercy on you, says the Lord. And the sons of those who afflicted you, and those who cast you out, those who slandered your name, those who counted you afflicted of the Lord, their sons will come. And these men as well shall come, bending their knee, they will bow down before you. And those that despised you will bow themselves to the ground at the sole of your feet. And they shall say, this is the people of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one desired you. Therefore I will make you eternal excellency, and I will make you a joy unto many generations. That which was despised and rejected by men is now going to be healed, and after it's been humbled and poured out, shall now receive the blessing of the life of the Lord, who was treated in the same fashion when he came here himself. Now he's going to come in a remnant that walked through the same path which Jesus himself has known. Hallelujah. The people shall be righteous. This is Isaiah 60, verse 20. 21, thy people also shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, hallelujah, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Yes, the remnant. They were despised and rejected of men, sons and daughters of sorrow. They've walked and are well acquainted with grief. The people who were full of themselves hid their own faces from them, for they were despised and they were not esteemed. Yes, they walked in the same path as the Lord. And is that marvelous in our eyes? The remnant are the ones that were cast out. Well, who is not in the remnant? Talk about who the remnant are. You guys already have a picture. Who is not included in the remnant? Who is not going on the ships of Tarshish with us? Psalm 101, verse 5 gives us an example. Whosoever privately slanders his neighbor, him I will cut off, says the Lord. And whoever has a high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer among my remnant. Amen. Those who privately slander and backbite, and whoever walks with a high look, and whoever has a proud heart, they're not among the remnant. No, the remnant are the humble and the broken ones. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in their heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join hand in hand, they shall not be unpunished. So even though the proud, you know, they join together, they form their little alliances, and they cover each other's back, but they will not be unpunished. And the Lord is coming to punish the people of the earth. He's coming to redeem a remnant. He's coming to punish, purge all the sin from within his house, and then he's coming to bring the final judgment upon the wicked. Who's not in the remnant? Those who walk as slanderers, those who walk with high and proud and lofty eyes, those who are proud and lifted up in their own heart. These are all abominations before the Lord. These are not found in the camp of the remnant. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon the remnant, because the Lord anointed his remnant to preach the good news unto the meek. He sent them to bind up the brokenhearted, and the reason they could bind the brokenhearted is they themselves were brokenhearted. The people that are full of themselves, they don't have the time or the concern for the brokenhearted. And I know that Isaiah 61 is a messianic prophecy. Brothers and sisters, open your eyes to see. Do you not yet see? Do you not yet understand? The remnant has been called unto Jesus Christ, and he will walk among them. And the blessing, all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Do you remember what we read from Ephesians? Now going to be poured out as the glory of God arises upon the remnant. Isaiah 61 will also come upon them. The Spirit of the Lord is coming upon the remnant, even as the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus. Because Jesus is in the remnant. You all know that Jesus is in you, right? That's not a new doctrine. I'm not breaking new ground. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have Jesus in you? Well, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon the Jesus that's in you again. Only in the fullness, even as it filled the Lord as a man, through the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus Christ is going to fill the remnant yet again. For all prophetic words must be fulfilled twice. In order for the confirmation of two witnesses in the land to bear witness that the word was done and spoken by God, so the day shall declare it, and it shall be witnessed twice. Now, not everyone understands this. That's fine. Receive what you can. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Lord has anointed me to preach and have good tidings for the remnant. Oh, woe unto the wicked, and great woe. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it's going to be rather hard for the proud. It's going to be a tough day for the ones walking in compromise. But I have good tidings for the meek and for the brokenhearted. Not only has the Lord sent me, and he's sending you as well, if you're part of this company, he's sending us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. We're going to open the prison to all that are bound, and we're going to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And at the same time, now, we'll read the second half of this verse, wherein Jesus stopped 2,000 years ago in Nazareth. He read to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed the book. But now, in the fulfillment of these things at the time of the end, when we shall also proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. And yet in the day of vengeance, we're going to comfort those who mourn. Those who are lofty and rejoicing in the pride of their own eyes, they will be cut down like Korah, who lifted himself up before Moshe in the wilderness. But those who are the broken, and those who are the afflicted, and those who mourn for the sin in the land, they shall be comforted, because it's the acceptable year of the Lord. He's going to comfort the brokenhearted. And the day of vengeance comes upon every other. The humble and the meek shall receive the acceptable year of the Lord, which is known as the day of Christ. And the proud, the arrogant, the rebellious, and the wicked, they shall have the day of the Lord visited upon them. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion beauty for ashes. So you see, brothers and sisters, if God's chosen you for the remnant, and you've been in the fire, and you've been mourning, and you've been weeping, and you've been broken, You've walked under all of these things, and that was so God could bring you to the end of yourself. Because in order to be part of his remnant, you have to be found humble and full of humility. The Lord said, learn of me, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly of heart. There's no one in the remnant that's full of pride. There's nobody in the remnant of whom you could say, how lofty are their eyes? No, those are for the ones still walking under the deception of pride. They will be cleansed through the fire that's coming. If they belong to the Lord, we'll see them in the kingdom, but they're not going to be on the ships of Tarshish unless they repent, and that right soon. Hallelujah. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God is going to lift the spirit of heaviness off of his humbled, broken remnant, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall build the old waste places. We're going to rebuild the desolate places. We're going to raise up the former desolation. We will repair the ruined cities in the wilderness of Edom and Moab. Desolations from many generations past. And strangers will feed your flocks. You guys, I'm in Isaiah 61:5. This never happened in the day of Jesus. Strangers didn't come and feed the flocks when Jesus Christ stopped in the middle of verse 2. This is being fulfilled again, brothers and sisters. I'm not imagining things here. I'm unveiling things yet to be seen. Look what awaits the remnant who chose the cross of Jesus Christ. They chose to be an outcast with the Lord. They chose the sorrow and the rejection of Jesus Christ rather than the favor and the celebrity of men. They chose the rejection and the hatred of the world, and with it they also receive rejection and hatred from the church, for the church, which has rejected the remnant, has rejected the Lord as well. And it turns out that church is just of the world. Some of them may be saved through the fire. Many of them on that day will wake up only to cry out, Lord, Lord, I thought we knew you. Turns out they only knew his name. But not the remnant. They not only know the Lord, they know his suffering. They know his shame. They know what it means to be afflicted and cast out. And now, because they were the outcasts of Israel, they're being gathered into the remnant that shall be delivered in this time. Oh, hallelujah. And they're going to build the waste cities, and strangers will now feed your flocks. The sons of the alien, the sons of the goyim, the sons of people that weren't even of the kingdom, shall be our servants, your plowmen and your vine dressers, and you will be named the priests of the Lord. Amen. They wear the garments of the kings and the priests of the Lord, and men shall call you the ministers of our God, and you'll eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you will boast for yourself. Hallelujah, what the Lord's going to do in the remnant. It shall be very well in the remnant in that day. It shall not be well for anyone else. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness of the remnant goes forth as the brightness of the beaming rays of the sunlight breaking through the morning. And the salvation of the camp of God is a lamp that burneth in a dark place. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. All over the earth, the remnant shall be anointed, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon the forsaken and afflicted ones, and all the kings of the earth will see the glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Yeah, we're getting a new name, you guys. Praise God. God's given you new destiny. And with it, he's given you a new name that captures and bears witness of the destiny to which he's called you. And you shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. The Lord is glorifying himself by taking these least, the least of the saints. We are not the great people. We are the people that needed, that greatly needed the Lord. And in the reality of that is caused the pouring out of the hearts of the many that have been set aside as the remnant in this hour. See, the remnant are humble, just like the Lord. The remnant are brokenhearted. The remnant, they had the garments of heaviness on them. They know all these things, and they've known them for a long time. Some of the remnant have known these afflictions for decades upon decades. Now they're being gathered in for Zion's sake. And the Gentiles will see the righteousness of the remnant. And the kings will see the glory of the Lord rising upon you. And then you'll be given a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Did you know we all get a new name, brothers and sisters? Oh, yes, we do. And the Lord has a new name for you, as surely as he's given a new name to me. Hallelujah. And you shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God, and you shall no more be called forsaken. Amen. You know, we were the forsaken ones. Believe me, I know the meaning of that word. Neither shall thy land be desolate. That word desolate means utterly ruined and totally destroyed. Your life will no longer be desolate, and you will no longer be forsaken, and rather you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land, your life will be called Beulah, married unto God. For the Lord delights in his remnant, and the land and the people shall be married to the Lord. Go through, Isaiah 62, verse 10. Go through the gates. What gate? The door. The gate to the kingdom is the door, which is the Lord. Go through the gate, which is Jesus. We who have been called ahead of the rest of the flock, we are to enter through the door, which is Jesus Christ, that we could prepare the way for the people. And we've got to lift up the highway. We've got to lift up the way of righteousness. We have to lift up the way of holiness. We have to lift up the word of the Lord and gather out the stones. Get all these falsehoods out of the way. That's what the Art of the Darkness book and the whole Search the Scriptures series is about, preparing the way for the people. These books were written for the remnant. Look, the apostates and the proud ones, they couldn't receive what's in these books anyway. This word came forth by the Spirit of God, and it was sent to comfort and deliver and prepare and equip the remnant, that they could begin to prepare the way for the ones who will follow. Cast up the highways and lift up the standard of the truth of God for the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world. That's where we are. Brothers and sisters, look around you. You are at the end of the world. Hallelujah. Isn't it awesome that we're at the end of the world and God is he woke us up and he told you, you are at the end of the world. Check out the view. This is what Babylon looks like before it was destroyed. This is what the world looks like before the beast emerged. And this is what the church looks like, having been desolated by the deceptions of the enemy. The great falling away has occurred. The love of many has grown cold. A great apostasy has come. A false anointing has come. Many false prophets have come. Even as the Master warned us, it's all been fulfilled. And now we're waiting for the latter rain and for the remnant to come out of the wilderness. And where is the remnant? In the wilderness. Many of the remnant are literally in the wilderness. I live in the wilderness. I am speaking to you from the wilderness of the mountains in the north of Idaho. And it's cold. and the wind blows cold. And it's very quiet. All you hear is the sound of the wind howling in the trees. And praise God, in the wilderness, you've got time to think. You've got time to feel. Brothers and sisters, this kingdom is all about the matters of our heart. It's not about the doctrines in our head. And I'm not saying doctrine isn't important. You must know the cardinal doctrines of the faith, or you are a heretic and you're not one of us. But once you know the truth of Jesus, who is God come in the flesh, whose death and atonement cover our sin, and whose new life and resurrection power beckons us to come within and live a new life within God. Once you understand the revelation of Jesus, it's the purpose and plan for Father God in the lives of all of his sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Now it becomes an issue of getting the matters of your heart right, not debating the doctrines in the minds of men. Hallelujah. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes, and his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Brothers and sisters, we are the work of the Lord, and he's bringing a reward. It's sort of like hard, you know, since we can do nothing apart from the Lord. I always wondered, why do we get a reward? But I think the answer is because we were willing to follow the Lord and to obey. And when he said, get up and pray, we got up and prayed. When he said, stand up and preach, we stood and preached. When he said, go and humble yourself and repent to those people, you went and humbled and repented. And you did what the Lord asked you to do. And out of obedience, he has a reward for you. But, you know, why is it we earn a reward? Well, we didn't really earn the reward because the Lord helped us with all these things. But we get the reward as a gift so that we have a wedding gift to give when we finally are invited to the wedding feast. You don't want to show up without a gift. Because all of these rewards, even like the crowns of glory some of us will receive, as the 24 elders before the throne of the Lamb, they cast their crowns before the Lord. Where do you think they got the crown in the first place? The Lord. Everything is the Lord's. We are the Lord's. And he's called us to himself because he wants to share his life with you. But before we can enter in, we must let his truth make our hearts completely true, brothers and sisters. It's all about a heart that's true. That's the work that is before the Lord, the work that involves the matters of your heart, that the darkness would come out of us, that we could walk in the purity and the humility of a heart that is righteous before God. And no, we aren't perfect. No, we're still just his children. We make our boo-boos. We make little spills in the kitchen all the time. But if our heart is true, the master is not offended with you, and he'll tell you what he wants you to clean up. And maybe some of the things he'll just clean it up without you even noticing. It's all about the heart being true. That's the work that's before the Lord. And then they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you'll be called, sought out, a city or a people no longer forsaken. Yeah, because the anointing of the Lord will be upon the remnant. Suddenly the people that hated you are going to be, well, bowing before you, repenting to you, and they're going to be wanting to go with you because they'll know the Lord is with you. But who are we that the Lord would do this thing in us? And who is this that is coming among us? Because that's what God is doing in us. God's work in us is the one who comes among us. And he's making us like himself. Hallelujah. Isaiah 63. Who is this that comes from Edom? with dyed garments from Bozrah, glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. It is I that speak in righteousness, who is mighty to save. Hallelujah. 63:4. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. It's a day of vengeance that's being prophesied in Isaiah 63. Verses 5 and 6 speak of the vengeance that's about to be revealed. And I looked, and there was no one to help. I wondered, there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury had upheld me. God's fury is the strength of his arm. I will tread the people in my anger, and I'll make them drunk in my fury, and I'll bring down their strength to the ground. The day of vengeance is in God's heart, but the year of his remnant is also come. And verses 7 through 9 are prophecies of the remnant. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. This is Isaiah 63:7. In verse 6, God just got done saying, I'm trampling the people in my anger, I'm going to make them drunk in my fury, and I will trample them in the winepress of my wrath. And the next verse is, and the remnant says, and I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Hallelujah. You guys, you want to be in verse 7, not 6. You want to be looking at the day of Christ, the day of the anointed ones, the day of the blessing that comes upon the remnant of God. You don't want the day of the Lord to be your portion, because it is either the day of God's vengeance or the year of his redemption. You choose which part is for you. I thank God I'm going to be sharing in the, I get to mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us, and the great goodness towards the remnant of Israel, which he's bestowed upon them according to his mercy and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For the Lord said, surely they are my people, children that do not lie. There's one of those issues of the heart, folks. No lies inside. We're not lying to the Lord out of our hearts. We're not covering up our sin. No, we've repented that we might be able to enter in to the life that is in Jesus, because it is in Jesus that all of our spiritual blessings were appointed to us, and it's the only place you can receive them and embrace them in your life. You must enter in through the door in order to receive everything waiting for you that's been chosen for you before the foundation of the earth, in the very presence and through the life of the Lord. And God's bestowed it on us, this great goodness, in the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, they are my people, children that do not lie. So he became their Savior. And in all of their affliction, he was afflicted. The Lord knows all of our afflictions. He knows all of our suffering, all of our wandering, because the Lord embraced all of it and more. And the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of the Lord has saved every one of us more times than we could count if we really knew how many times this happened. In the Lord's love and pity, he's redeeming us, and he bore us, carried us, even as in the days of old. Verse 15, look down from heaven, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, O Lord, where is thy zeal and thy strength and the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies towards me? Are they yet restrained, O Lord? Doubtless you are my father, though Abraham be ignorant of me, and Israel acknowledge me not. You know, and the remnant is grafted in, we're part of the seed of Abraham. And for those, some of us whose bloodline is from Abraham, yet through the father and not the mother, the state of Israel will not acknowledge us. I cannot make Aliyah, and I don't have a Jewish mother. They think God was the God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. But the promise came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And though Abraham be my father, Israel acknowledges, will not acknowledge me. Israel acknowledges us not. But you, O Lord, are our father. And that includes the Gentiles that are being gathered in as well. The Lord's our father. We are grafted into the loins of Abraham through the promised Holy Seed, which is by the Spirit of God, and the Lord is our Redeemer, and His name is from everlasting. O Lord, why have you made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake, O Lord, and for the tribes of thy inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while, and our enemies have trodden down the sanctuary. That's a whole separate study. The enemies of God have destroyed the sanctuary of the Lord. That's why the remnants in the wilderness, it's one of the reasons. But we are thine. Thou never bear rule over them. No, the enemies of God were never under the rule of God. They're under the curse and destruction of God. They were never called by the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 66, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth my footstool. Wherein is the house you would build for me? For all these things that my hands made, and all these things that have been, I have done, says the Lord. But I will look to this one, even to the one that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brothers that hated you, and they cast you out for my name's sake, saying, let the Lord be glorified. Or, you know, they also like to say to you, I'll be praying for you, brother. You know, gee, thanks, but no thanks. You know, I'll let the remnant pray for me. The rest of you guys, maybe not, right? Only the effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. Sometimes the prayers of the people full of themselves, it's almost maybe not even a good thing. You know, there's a thing called solical prayer. That's another study. We'll go there another time. You don't want that over your life. Praise God. But, you know, they say these words to you. Oh, they cast you out. They hate you. They throw you out. But then they, you know, they cop out and say, let the Lord be glorified. We're just wanting the will of God, you know. Like when they fired me, they're like, we know the Lord called you, brother, and we don't want to get in the way. Yeah, right. They're just lying to you through their teeth because they're the children of the lie. That's why they're not in the remnant, because the remnant does not lie. You know, I got an email recently full of lies. Why can't people just tell the truth? Hide behind lies? There's nothing but problems when we hide behind lies. But the Lord shall appear to our joy, and they shall be soon ashamed. Hallelujah. A voice of noise coming out of the city of Zion, a voice from the temple of God, the voice of the Lord renders a recompense upon his enemies. And before she travails, she's ready to bring forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of the man-child. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all of you that love her. For thus says the Lord, I will extend peace like a river and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. And I will be as one whose mother comforts him. So will I comfort you as one whose mother comforts him. Isaiah 66:13. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart will rejoice. Hallelujah. We're going to Jerusalem. You guys, you're going to love it. I'll show you around. Praise the Lord. Your heart will rejoice. Your bones will flourish. The hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and his indignation will be upon all of his enemies. For behold, my Lord will come with fire and with chariots of fire like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many in that day. But the Lord will set a sign among them of those that escape from the nations, even to the isles that are far off, that have not yet heard of our God's fame, nor have they seen the glory. And they shall bring all of your brethren. How many? All of your brethren, all of the remnant, as an offering unto the Lord, out of all of the nations. This is Isaiah 66:20. The anointed ones that are coming are going to bring all of your brothers and sisters out of all of the nations, upon horses, chariots, litters, mules, swift beasts, and every available means of transportation, including the ships of Tarshish that are waiting for you. And they're bringing them back to the land that belongs to the Lord. And there, the children of Israel will bring an offering in a clean vessel. No more lies inside. No more defilements in the flesh. Now, perfectly cleansed, the remnant will be a clean vessel unto the Lord. And it will come to pass from that time on that all flesh will come to worship before me. Everyone that's left alive will be worshiping God. And then you will go forth and you will look on the carcasses of the men who transgressed against me. And their worms shall not die, and neither will the fire be quenched throughout all of eternity. And they shall be an abhorrent unto all flesh. And thus says the word of the Lord unto his remnant. Watch ye therefore, praying always, that you may be accounted to worthy to escape all these things that shall soon come to pass, and to stand with the remnant who stand before the Lord. Amen. Lord, grant ears to the hearers. Convict our hearts. May we be found worthy, Lord, to be standing in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for joining me for Search the Scriptures. This is Benjamin Baruch. I almost said Benjamin Rebuke. Because, you know, the word that's coming out of heaven is a rebuke. And the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke. So he sends that brother Baruch to speak to you a rebuke. Because God loves you. And he wants you in his remnant. But we've got to quit playing this game called church. And listen to me, brothers and sisters. This thing called pride, it defiles you on the inside. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to search it out. Pray that thing. Cast that out of your life. Repent of it. Rebuke it and tell it to leave you. Because if the truth be told, there's nothing any of us have done that is worthy to be proud of. Whatever good we did by the power of the Lord. And the rest of the mess, which was our part, when it's brought into the light of day, we would rather be ashamed, and none of us will be proud. So let's become the humble, broken ones, that we might be counted among the remnant. Amen. It's Brother Benjamin Baruch bringing a loving kindness and gentle rebuke from the Lord of the harvest, for the days come soon. God bless you all. Amen.